As we get started this morning, I have the unexpected but joyous privilege of sharing God's word with you today. My name is Joe Tronolone. I help lead the youth ministry here at Kaz Church, which is a blessing all by itself. And we're going to look at some of God's word this morning as the children are dismissed. This month in our youth program on Wednesday nights, we've been discussing wisdom and goals. That's my shameless plug for the youth program. We meet 6:30 to 9 on Wednesday nights. And we'll be wrapping up our sixth series this Wednesday. And we've been looking at the book of Nehemiah, Old Testament book. And that's where we're going to be this morning. Our series has found us there. It's all about Nehemiah. It's his memoir. And he sets out to achieve a God-sized goal. And that's what we've been talking about with the students. God-sized goal versus a you-sized goal. You-sized goals being something like maybe losing weight or starting a new habit, learning a new skill. But God-sized goals are different because they look to glorify the Lord or they look to help others. And Nehemiah's goal does both. He sets out to do something pretty miraculous in this story, and that is to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, a city very important to our Lord. And he's looking to both protect its people, but also to honor and glorify his God. And he's hoping that this wall will unite the people under God once again. And so it was a verse that I shared last week, just this past Wednesday with our students, that resonated with me personally. And it forced me to ask a deeper question, which is what we're going to maybe tackle this morning. That verse was Nehemiah 6:9. Nehemiah 6:9 says, "For they all wanted to frighten us." This is Nehemiah talking about the opposition that he was facing. He says, "For they all wanted to frighten us, thinking their hands will drop from the work and it will not be done." But his response, he says, "But now, O God, strengthen my hands. Strengthen my hands." And the question as we begin this morning before we look to the Lord in prayer is this: what keeps us going? What keeps us going? What keeps you going? What woke you up this morning to be here? Maybe it was the alarm clock. Maybe like me, it was the several snooze buttons that followed. Maybe it was because the Buffalo Bills play this evening, I'm aware. Maybe the dog jumped into bed with you this morning. Maybe your spouse woke you up. What pushes you to pursue your goals? It's a question I've been asking the youth all month. They're probably sick of it by now. But what makes you keep moving and keep going? Now, let's consider that question this morning as we look to the Lord in prayer. Dearly Father, Lord, you are glorious, and we thank you for so much when we can give so little. I pray this morning, Father, that you would speak through me, speak to the people here and the people at home joining us via Facebook, Father. I pray that your spirit would fill their homes and fill this place, that you would reveal truth to us this morning through the book of Nehemiah, that you would help us tackle some tough questions and think about what keeps you going, what keeps us going, who keeps us going. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for your son. We thank you for your love. Be with us in this place as we read your word together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Things have been difficult for us in the past year, and when they get really tough and we feel discouraged, how do we keep pursuing our goals? How do we keep going? I'm going to say those two words a lot. You're going to be sick of them. How do we keep going? And related to the main question this morning of how we keep going is this other question, just as difficult. Is the joy of the Lord your strength? I've been thinking a lot about that word strength in the past week. Is the joy of the Lord your strength this morning? That word strength is interesting. It's been said a couple times this morning. And it's such a simple word, and yet it's so elusive to us. The word strength is difficult partly because it has so many definitions. Have you ever Googled the word strength? It has 9 nine, if I can count to nine, nine definitions in the Merriam-Webster dictionary. Nine different definitions. And that's just the word. The word means so much to us. When I said the word strength, some people in this room might think of Christopher Reeves flying by, some superhero, maybe a more modern superhero. When I say strength, you might think of a profession. I know as a young person, my father was in the construction business when he was on this earth. He owned his own business for a short time. I think as a child, I often saw strength in his job. Maybe you see strength in a carpenter or a construction worker, someone that builds something with their bare hands. Or some of you might think of strength because of your love for your family. You see strength there, strength in one's love for one's family. See, this word strength is complicated. There's so many different ways to look at it. Strength can apply to an object, to a person, to an ideal. And even us as the church, we struggle with this word strength too. We're not immune to its muddiness that the world causes. This word loses clarity over time, becomes ambiguous, it's foggy for us. Finding strength and joy in the Lord, these statements we often say, but they often get lost in the day-to-day. And so when life is simple, when life is sweet for us, I think we're quick to affirm, yes, our strength is in the Lord. We might quote Philippians 4:13. I see it on many Instagram and Facebook bios of some of my young people. And what we don't understand what we are saying when we say that. The only joy that reflects the worth of God is rooted in knowledge of God. This kind of knowledge that we're going to look at this morning. To understand this joy, we have to understand Him. And that's a lifelong process. But this morning, we can understand what God's goal was to better understand Him and find that strength. And we'll do that through His Word. What happens is we allow sin to enter our lives. It overtakes us maybe for a week, a few months, maybe even years. What happens then? What happens when the world mocks us? When the joy of the Lord feels impossible? It may have felt that way for many in the past year. When we reach our limits, where do we go for strength? All that jumbled around in my head this week as I was reading about Nehemiah praying for strength. What is he talking about? And limits may very well be one of the things that force us to confront this question this morning. What keeps us going? Where do we turn for help? Where do I turn for help? I had asked the same question this morning. And I believe there might be an answer for us hidden in plain sight in Nehemiah. We're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 8 this morning. If there are any youth on Facebook, sorry, there'll be a slight spoiler alert. We're not quite at chapter 8. We're going to get there this Wednesday. But for the rest of us in the congregation this morning, we're going to jump into chapter 8. And perhaps Nehemiah will have some answers for us. But if you're unfamiliar with the story of Nehemiah, I'm going to give you a quick recap. This story starts almost 2,500 years ago in the city of Jerusalem. It's destroyed by an enemy army, specifically the Babylonians under King Nebuchadnezzar. And the walls are destroyed. The temple where they worship God is burned to the ground. The place is left in ruins. But God promises that his people, his chosen people, will return there someday, and they will live in that city again. And so 140 years later, we get to Nehemiah. And God's promise is starting to be fulfilled. People are entering the cities, picking up the pieces of their life, trying to figure out where they go next, and enters Nehemiah. And he has a God-sized goal. He looks around and sees the walls that have been destroyed, and God lays it on his heart to repair the walls. And he wants to do that for a spiritual reason and a practical reason. Again, he wants to protect God's people, but he also wants to honor God. And so as cupbearer to the king, he prays, he plans, he fasts, and he prepares for this mountain-like goal. Could you imagine having to build up an entire wall for a city? Could you imagine if Buffalo had a wall? What that would take. and he prays for an opportunity, and the Lord gives him that opportunity to speak to the king. He appears troubled before the king, and the king asks him what's wrong, and he basically tells him, I want to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. No big deal. And to his surprise, the king says yes. And he grants him the letters that he needs, the timber that he's going to need, the access to it, to build up these walls again. And even surprises him with a detail, essentially, of officers to protect him, because not everyone is a fan of this idea. As the youth and I looked at last week, just like you and me, Nehemiah faced opposition. There were some people that were not a fan of him or his goal. They wanted to see him fail. Some of his own Jewish people, but also a couple of characters named Tobiah and Sanballat. Tobiah the Ammonite and Sanballat the Horonite. They want to see Nehemiah fail so badly. And this is the spoiler part, because we're not quite there in our youth program yet, but 52 days later, God tells us that specifically, 52 days later, Nehemiah and his team complete this goal. They build up this wall and they fully restore it. And it's remarkable. And to celebrate, where we're going to jump in chapter 8, they throw a party of sorts, but party's not really the correct word. It's more of a worship festival meant to bring honor and joy to not themselves, but to God for what they've accomplished, for what he accomplished through them. And so we're going to jump into chapter 8 here this morning. I'm in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 8 through 12. This is ESV. Let's read this together. Nehemiah 8, 8 through 12, starting in verse 8. They read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go your way. Eat the fat and drink sweet wine and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. Small passage, big ideas here. The experience of Israel here fascinates me. It's an example of how godly love looks, how it happens in the heart. Ezra, the city's priest, the teacher of the law that had been passed down through Moses, Ten Commandments, he had read the word of the God to them. And then the Levites help explain it. And the people go away to rejoice. They weep after they hear God's word. Their great rejoicing was because they had understood words, but not just words, true words, the word of God. And in verse 10, Nehemiah says, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's that word again. Joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah steps in and he comforts the people and he reminds them who their God is. Here they are celebrating, thanking the Lord, and he affirms to them, he reaffirms to them that they are still his people. They are his chosen people and he is still their God. And that is the joy that can impart strength. Brothers and sisters, that's the joy that can impart strength. I began reading this book expecting to come away with some tidy lessons to teach our young people about setting and achieving goals. And I think we have started to do that. We're going to wrap up our series this Wednesday, but what I have personally found more than those things, I have been overwhelmed by a God who exists, who is real in this story, just like he is real right now. And he loves us. He delights in us. He reaffirms through his law and through these leaders, through people like Nehemiah, that we are his. And he delights in us. It's overwhelming in such a small 13-chapter book. Nehemiah's goal was a wall. God's goal was a cross. A cross he would send his only son to die on. He would send Jesus there, the most complete and truthful example of love that we have. Nehemiah's goal was to rebuild a wall. Jesus' goal was and is to rebuild us. Isn't that just beautiful? I thought that was beautiful. That is the power and gloriousness that we just sang about of the gospel. Jesus' goal was to rebuild us, and it still is. Jesus Christ came to this earth not to walk on water, not to teach love thy neighbor, not to bring people back from the dead and do all these amazing things that he did do. He simply came with one goal in mind, a goal much bigger than Nehemiah's. He came to conquer death, death on a cross, so that we could be restored, just like that wall. Jesus made us his mission, and we still are. We still are. He died and rose again 3 days later, and he lives today. He achieved his goal. He achieved it. But yet we still struggle. And this is where we have problems, right? We still have failures. We still have limitations. Following Jesus is not easy. And there may very well be some folks in this room or at home that are not following him, that have yet to be found by Jesus, because you don't find him. He's not lost. That may be very well the case. And yet we all still have struggles and failures and limits. And we don't like those limits, do we? Having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ should, over time, allow us to see our challenges as gifts. And that sounds insane to many people. We should see our challenges as gifts. That sounds crazy to the world outside, maybe to some people in here. Struggles help us strengthen our faith muscles, just like they did for Nehemiah. Failures teach and develop grit. Limits grow us in godly love. That's one of the few, as I told the youth, perhaps one of the only beauties of failure. Many of you may not know this. I wasn't even going to mention it, but I will. My favorite fictional character, his name's Yoda. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. If you have any children and youth, and they don't know that by now, I have failed miserably. I love Yoda. And as a young person, I've always loved those old wise characters, the Gandalfs, the Dumbledores, the Yodas, the sage-like characters that have all this wisdom. And they have goals too, but they kind of see the big picture. They see the whole story. And even Yoda is not exempt from failure. He fails to kill the Emperor and is forced to go into exile in a swamp, waiting years for hope to return to the galaxy, right? And that's just a fictional story. But what one of my favorite Star Wars films misses, it's actually the 8th movie called The Last Jedi. Yoda, spoiler alert, he makes a return in that movie. And he says this amazing quote in his backwards way of talking. The greatest teacher failure is, he says to Luke. But what entertainment, what Hollywood misses in that quote, what's missing that I'm going to insert for us this morning is that failure not only teaches us, but it pushes us in God's direction. That's what Yoda's missing there. It's through failure and our limitations that we learn to run to the Lord. And I found this quote, and it spoke to me. I follow him on social media. He's a Brooklyn pastor. His name's Rich Velotis. He says this about limitations. He says, many of our limits are gifts to welcome, not obstacles to overachieve and to overcome. We were not created to transcend every limit, but to allow our limits to bring us to God, connect us more deeply to each other, and purify our hearts from ego-driven desires. What a quote. Let me read that again. Many of our limits are gifts to welcome, not obstacles to overcome. We were not created to transcend every limit, but to allow our limits to bring us to God, connect us more deeply to each other, and purify our hearts from ego-driven desires. I know we are already approaching the end of January. Seems kind of crazy. But there is something perhaps that you want to do this year in your life. We looked at a stat last week with the youth. At this point in time, about 3/4 of Americans have given up on their goals. If they make New Year's resolutions, they've already said, maybe next year. Only 1/4 of us in just this country are committed to goals at this point in time. Insane. But maybe there is something that you want to do, someone that you're hoping to become. Are you facing opposition this morning? Are you feeling weak or broken, unable to pick up the pieces like God's chosen people were and rebuild this morning? Have you reached your limits? I'm confronting that question myself this morning. Maybe you're struggling to just keep going, as Nehemiah definitely was. You talked to God a lot about it. If that is the case, and I imagine it to be the case for most in this room and probably most that are with us on Facebook this morning, myself included, we have hope. We have hope. And it's my hope that we find some comfort this morning in five little bullet points, five things I'd like to share with you before we close. The Lord's word tells us these. These aren't from me. These are from him. How we can find strength when we're trying to achieve goals and deal with our limits. These are five things that give the Lord great joy that might help us find strength in him this year and every year after. This is how we can find strength. Number one is take it to God. This might be the biggest point I can say. Take it to God. This one's a challenge for myself. Maybe it's that way for you. Nehemiah was in constant communication with the Lord. Fascinates me as we go through this book with our young people, how often his answer is prayer. And especially when he was facing opposition, when these guys wanted his wall done, when they're trying to lure him out so that they can get rid of him permanently, he senses something's wrong, and instead he goes to the Lord, especially in chapters 4 and 6. If you were to look at those chapters, you'll see what I'm talking about. When you're struggling with goals, maybe goals that God has laid on your heart, when you're chasing something difficult, when you're out of gas, what would it look like for you to talk to God more this morning? What would you ask him? What would you talk about? Will you make time for him? Take it to God. The second way we might find strength, the second way that the Lord gives us access to strength, is through community. Choose community. And last time I was up here, actually, we talked about that a little bit with squads. Choose community. God gives us incredible strength that I can barely even remotely explain through the Holy Spirit. But he also gives us strength through people. We weren't designed to pursue goals alone. Adam had Eve. Nehemiah had tons of people. Read chapter 3 of Nehemiah. It lists all the families and people that he gathers up to his cause. He doesn't do it by himself. When you're facing opposition and losing strength, what would it look like to lean on the people that you trust, that the Lord has given to you? And some of you may think, well, I don't have that many people, Joe. It's not about quantity, it's about quality, right? That's an old saying. Are you surrounded by people that you trust? If not, maybe that's where you need to start. Maybe that's a goal right there. Choose community. Number three is rest. I love rest. I don't know about you. I love rest. And when I say rest, you probably are thinking of sleep, but I mean more than just sleep. Nehemiah asked for strength to keep going, but he knew all of these people that he gathers up were going to need rest to accomplish this goal, especially in 52 days. Less than 2 months they build this thing from the ground up. We weren't designed to hustle forever. But our world is, in many ways, busier than Nehemiah's world was. We're very busy. What would happen if we made rest a priority? This thing that the Lord actually requires our bodies to get in the form of sleep. But when you're feeling overwhelmed or tired or weak, what makes you feel renewed? What makes you and I feel renewed was probably going to be very different. It might be sleep. It could be time with friends, maybe a friend that you haven't seen in a while because of how things are right now. Maybe your form of rest is time by yourself, time in nature and what the Lord made, time in with music, time just by yourself. Maybe it's time with the Lord. That goes back to our first point. Maybe rest is just removing the technology and devices at our fingertips just for a little bit. We need rest. And the Lord provides it. A peace, a rest that is unlike anything else. Number four, and this one's a hard one. Remove distractions. What's distracting you this morning? I know what's distracting me. When you're following God, not everyone will like your goals. Not everyone's going to like you. I'm sure there are plenty of people that don't like me. I'm okay with that. It's not your job to please everybody. All you need to worry about is pleasing the Lord and staying close to the people that he's put in your life, that community, that squad that he's given you, that you lean on for support, that you do life with, that you learn more about God with. Whose voices do you need to listen to this morning? And whose voices maybe do you need to learn to ignore? What distractions need to be eliminated or at least lessened in your life? God can help with that. He can. We need to remove distractions, and that's a tough one because as many distractions as Nehemiah had, we have, it seems, so many more, or at least different ones than what he had. The Lord can help us remove those. And the fifth and final point, those two words again, keep going. Keep going. I'm not going to have us all do this morning, but I made our youth actually take a deep breath in and a deep breath out on Wednesday. Felt ridiculous probably at the time. But if you can feel breath in your lungs, and I'm pretty sure you all can because you're all here with me this morning, it means that you still have another chance to keep going. Opposition is going to come. What mine looks like and yours look like will be different, perhaps. Things will get difficult. But if you know Jesus Christ this morning, guess what? You've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. The same Spirit that brought him back from the dead off of that cross is inside of us. Crazy. That's crazy to me. That's amazing. That is what fills us with strength, with this joy that we've been talking about, this self-discipline. With God, we can keep going. I believe that. We can keep going. And so, as we reach closing this morning, God loves us. He delights in us. We were made to love and delight in him. We were. Is the Lord the reason you woke up this morning? Is he what gets you out of bed? I can't answer that question. I don't know what he knows. Is he the alarm clock for your soul? Is he your source of strength this morning? If he is not, if that's not the case for someone in this room or someone that can't necessarily look at me because they're on Facebook, why not? Why not? Would you consider leaning on the Lord this morning? Would you be willing to invite him into your life so that he can change you, rebuild you from the inside out? If you do not know Christ this morning, It is my prayer that he becomes your strength. Isaiah 41:10 tells us that God will strengthen us, help us, uphold us with his righteous right hand. Our Heavenly Father provides strength to us in so many ways, ways that we've just covered a few of them. There are more, but he limits distractions. He removes them for us. Most importantly, he is a limitless source of strength. We have unlimited access to him because of what was accomplished on the cross, because of what Jesus came and did. We can bring things to him always. It's like the Wi-Fi connection got reconnected, rebooted when Jesus came to this earth and took our place. He gives us the ability to rest in lots of ways, not just sleep. He gives us people, lots of people, a church, the church, to walk alongside us as well. And through his Spirit, he whispers to us, keep going, keep going. Psalm 46:1 promises us that God is our refuge and strength. May he be yours this morning. I'm well aware the Buffalo Bills play this evening. Last time they went this far, I was 1 year old. I didn't even watch football the last time that they made it to the AFC Championship. And I hope that they do well tonight. But guess what? Unfortunately, for many people in this city, the Buffalo Bills, that's all that their strength is. It's as far as their joy extends. For many, I think, in this city, it's kind of amazing, really. I haven't experienced this before because last time they were in the playoffs, I was a small child, probably in a Bills onesie. They've united our city in a way that's pretty amazing, despite all that's happened. What if Jesus united our city like that? Big question. I hope the Buffalo Bills win tonight, but you know what? If I had a choice between them taking it all and you finding Jesus today for your strength, I'm going to pick the latter every time. Maybe we'll get both. God works in mysterious ways, we'll see. But Jesus is our blessed assurance. He is. He's our assurance. He is my strength. I can't speak for you, but I pray that he becomes your strength this morning. Before we close this morning, and the worship team and I will be up here to sing one final song, let us close in prayer as we reflect on all these questions I've thrown at you and what the Lord maybe has shared with us this morning. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, we have so much to thank you for. It's amazing. After Nehemiah achieved his goal, he rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, he takes time to thank you. Help us to do that this week, this year, each day, thanking you for what was accomplished on the cross. Your goal was so much bigger than a wall. Well, physically speaking, it was smaller. It was just a couple pieces of wood, but spiritually, in the grand scheme of things, your goal was a mountain, so much bigger. Your goal always was to restore us, to rebuild us, to connect us with you again. And you did that through your son, Jesus. We thank you for that this morning. Lord, there may be people in this room, sitting at home on their couch, watching us on Facebook, that are hurting, that have reached their limits, that are struggling, that have failed, that maybe haven't achieved the goals that they wanted to achieve. I pray that you become their strength, that these limits would push them to you, that you would open up their hearts, lay something on it, that they would find you, because you don't need to be found. You know and see everything. You do everything for our good. I pray, Father, that you have given us the building blocks that we need to achieve goals, to find strength. We do that through bringing you joy, through praising you, through worshiping you like we are doing right now. And I pray, Father, that what we've done this morning is pleasing to you. We pray this morning, Father, for strength. Whatever someone in this room may be going through, I pray, Father, they would look to you. They would find rest. They would lean on the people that you've put in their lives, the people that they can trust, people that want what's best for them, the people that want them to know the truth of the gospel. We pray, Father, for people that they would be able to limit distractions or at least recognize them, that you would convict us and make those obvious to us. And I pray that you would just help us to keep going. And that all what we do when we wake up, when we go to sleep, that it's for you. We thank you, Father, for all of your gloriousness, for all the chains that you've broken, for all the walls that you're building. You are our blessed assurance. Your Son is our blessed assurance, and we thank you for him today. I thank you for the opportunity to share your word. It is a privilege. And we love you so much. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' beautiful name, we pray these things. Amen.